Bob Stefanowski. Robert, good morning, good morning.
Brad, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, and
good morning.
Partner is here, too. He is fired up this morning, I will say that.
Well, happy to be on. Thank you guys for having me on.
Well, thanks for being here. So we got this this new tax, this 10-cent fee on plastic bags that grocery stores and some of the department stores have to pass along to the consumer. Except one caveat to this, my friend, and that is a lot of these grocery stores are kind of one or two steps ahead of our state government. They've switched over to paper bags, and some of them are charging 10 cents, but they're keeping it. Others are just providing the paper bag gratuitously to their customers. Is this a misfire by the state legislature?
Well, I would say it's another misfire by Governor Lamont. I mean, if you think about it, you could argue that plastic bags should not be in existence. But if that's your true motivation, why wouldn't you just get rid of the plastic bags immediately?
Yeah, exactly.
So what this governor and the Democratic legislature do is they're always looking for ways to tax us. So they say, we have an idea. We'll phase it out over 2 years. We'll charge 10 cents a bag. We'll generate another $27 million a year from taxpayers. And the private sector, which nine times out of 10 is smarter than the public sector, said, that's fine. We'll switch to paper now. We'll charge the 10 cents, and we'll keep the $54 million. It's amazing.
Yeah, but here's the question, Bob. Do you really think it will be phased out in 2 years?
I think they'll get rid of the plastic bags over 2 years, and you could argue whether the grocery stores should be charging for paper, but it just gets to the motivation of some of these politicians. Again, the noble person would say, I don't like plastic. Let's just ban it. But they find a way, and they didn't write the legislation properly. They find a way to try to drag another $27 million out of taxpayers. And how much can the residents of Connecticut take before they say it's enough?
You see, here's my experience.
Everything that moves.
Here's my experience. I was in the legislature for two terms. I left in January. Once the state has a revenue stream that it gets accustomed to, 2 years from now, they're going to need that revenue stream. Once a revenue stream is created, it's very difficult for the state to eliminate it because it's an addict. It's an addict, the state of Connecticut. So therefore, I have a feeling, a strong feeling, that this 10-cent fee will go on in perpetuity.
Well, that's a fair point. I mean, once the people in Hartford start getting used to having revenue, if anything, it'll go up to 15.
Right, exactly.
They'll need more revenue.
Yeah.
But the real question is, how are they going to plug that hole in the budget? And I'd be willing to bet that some other form of tax comes out. If they realize that the revenue that they hoped for on plastic bags doesn't come in, they'll find something else to tax. They're very creative about things that they tax in this state. If they took that ingenuity and put it towards producing jobs, we'd be in a lot better shape.
You know, and they could find something to replace it, but rather than do that, they'll just look at it as an additional revenue stream, rather than one to eliminate the plastic bag revenue stream.
Absolutely, which gets into the real motivation. Is the real motivation to do the right thing for the environment, or is the primary motivation to generate more revenue from the people of Connecticut who are already the highest taxed people in the nation?
That's right.
It just gets back to another grab for money.
You know, Bob, I want to just throw something out to you. You know what I'm fed up with, and it is the same old thing. And we get a new governor, and we get the same old thing. You don't think you're going to get it, but you do get it. We have got a major, major problem here in Connecticut. There's no question about it. And people are leaving the state. We know that. And they're leaving because the taxes are so high. How do we change it? How do we give them a good life and still make money? How do we do that?
Well, I think it starts with elections, Brad. And I was hopeful when Governor Lamont, he seems like a nice enough guy. He had a business background. He said he was going to be pro-business. But he's essentially followed the policies of Dan Malloy. He introduced another $1 billion of taxes by an expanded sales tax. He introduced the most onerous paid family medical leave in the country. He's raising the minimum wage by 50% over a number of years. And what you see is businesses continuing to leave. UTC corporate headquarters. All of these companies moving out. And I don't think until we get a change in the administration and get some conservatives up there in power that the Democrats are ever going to get it. I was hopeful, but I don't see it happening. And that's why Governor Lamont is the 49th out of 50 governors in terms of ranking. He's second to last after only 8 months.
But how do we get a Republican in there in a blue state, as many people would ask?
Well, if you look at, you know, if you look at my results, there's a couple things I think whoever runs next time needs to focus on. One is the big cities. We were up by 5 points at 10 o'clock at night, but we knew we had lost because Hartford, Bridgeport, and New Haven hadn't reported yet. And what's ironic about this is the Democratic policies of more and more subsidies has not helped the cities whatsoever. You look at Bridgeport, only 26% of the kids in Bridgeport test at the age-appropriate level in math. 84% of the kids, or 76% of the kids are not at the right level. So the Democratic policies are not helping the cities, but they have many of these residents fooled that it's the right thing to do. So getting the message out that more jobs, like you see at the national level, more jobs, more economic growth, helps Bridgeport as much as it helps Greenwich. And we've got to get that message out there.
Sure. There was inaccurate information about your campaign, though, if I remember correctly, and particularly among union members. A lot of them were fearful that you were set out to break up the unions.
Yeah, I mean, the attack ads are tough. Running for office is tough. One of the things is the attack ads. They can say whatever they want. But what I was trying to do was be realistic. We've got a $100 billion underfunded state and teacher employee pension plan. We should keep the benefits for the people that are retired. But if we don't start to do something about addressing that liability, there's not going to be enough money around for the union employees that retire tomorrow. So we're not. It's a great example of misinformation. We're not doing the union employees any favors by promising that we're going to find $100 billion when no one knows we're going to do it.
Well, plus the fact that the CBAC agreement goes until 2027. So, I mean, with a lot of issues that people were faulting you at, really your hands would be tied because you could not touch issues that expire in 2027.
No, there's not a lot you can do. Even Governor Lamont tried to get a simple thing like a reduction in the cost of living adjustment, meaning that the union wages would not go up by as much every year. And he wasn't able to get that done.
Yeah.
So there's zero flexibility on the part of the unions to compromise. And you're sympathetic to state workers because they paid into these plans for decades, and they're counting on those benefits. But the fundamental problem is the money isn't there.
Yeah.
So we have to start to take some actions. Maybe it's an early buyout option on the pension plan. Maybe it's a reduction in the COLA. There's some things you can do if you can negotiate well, but this governor is unwilling to do it.
Do you think in the next state election it would be beneficial for the Republicans to win the next gubernatorial election with a moderate Democrat or a moderate Republican or a conservative Republican?
To run for the top office?
Yes.
It's hard because, you know, when you go through the primary, your Republican primary voters are very to the right on certain issues. So what's hard is to get through the primary and then also get through a general election. I think one of the things we could have done better was focusing on Connecticut. The Lamont campaign did a very good job of focusing on Washington, which quite honestly has very little impact on us, and the Trump administration and other things that they exaggerated. And particularly in Fairfield County, that's what hurt us. So I think the next time around, it's got to be a better job of focusing on Connecticut. And people are seeing the consequences of that. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and say, I voted for Governor Lamont because I didn't like what was going on in Washington, but I'll tell you, I made a mistake because look at what he's doing to this state. So I think we got to focus on what matters to Connecticut. I tried to do that, but we could have done a better job.
Yeah. Well, you'll have another shot then, won't you?
We'll see, Brad. I mean, 2-3 years is a long way away, but, you know, I think it's very unfortunate what this governor's doing. It's not too late to turn course, but I'm not overly hopeful. And when you have a governor who's only been in office for 8 months, ranked second to last, that's hard to do. I mean, you almost have to try to do that. So I do think the electorate is speaking out. I think these fall elections are going to be very important. People need to pay attention to these because it's our first opportunity to send a message back to Hartford that we don't like the direction of this economy. We don't like the direction of some of the social policies. And to get some conservatives back into these local positions at the end of the year in November would be very helpful.
Well, these are municipal elections this year. It would be next year that would be the midterm election, and the state regarding state representatives and state senators that would be up next year. That would be sending more of a message, I think, to the governor.
That's big too. But even, you know, I live in Madison. We got Tom Banish, who has done an incredible job with our town. It's AAA rated. We got a budget surplus, and there's a very strong Democrat who raised her hand to try to run against him. And Susan Bicevich has been out for a fundraiser. Chris Murphy has been out, and they're coming after Madison. So we got to keep these conservative at a local level, and those are the races that impact people probably the most in terms of mill rate and school buildings and things like that. So I agree with you. 2020 is a bigger year on a statewide basis, but these fall elections are very important.
I just remember after you lost the election in November that I would hear from people, you know, if the Republicans had run a moderate Republican rather than an ultra-conservative Republican, you would have won. As a matter of fact, you probably would have won back in 2014 as well. And it's almost like you're trying to go in there too aggressively. You should do it more gradually. Get a moderate in there for a term or two, and then run a conservative after that, an ultra-conservative. I mean, these are just pundits, and these are just people's opinions on the streets that say this. But do you think there's any truth to that?
You know, you get a million different reasons. When you lose, you get a million different reasons. I've heard I used out-of-state consultants, which has some truth to it. The Democrats, you know, really outdid us on the ground game.
Oh, without a doubt, yes.
I'm sorry?
No, without a doubt, yes, I agree.
Yeah. You know, we got hurt in Fairfield County, particularly with suburban women who were sending a message that they didn't like our president. Certainly part of it was, you know, being a conservative person in Connecticut. Connecticut is only 26% Republican.
Yeah.
We got 46% of the vote, so it's hard for a Republican to win in Connecticut. Oh. So, and I'm not saying we ran the perfect campaign, and if we had, we probably still could have won. But the numbers are against us, and I think it's more about getting out the message rather than a particular profile of a person.
Bob Stefanowski, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.